Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, March 25th, 2024. Stephen St. John and aloof Nate Bucati and Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Today on the show, we're going to talk to Todd Lebo, C.J. Moore, college basketball writer for The Athletic, and Jared Sutton, NBA scout for the New Orleans Pelicans, who has seen probably every team in the Sweet 16 in person. I will ask you to predict right now, Nate Bucati and Jake Gutierrez, when I ask Jared Sutton that question, how many of the Sweet 16 teams will he have seen in person as an NBA scout?
All of them.
That's a ridiculous answer. You put no work into that. You didn't even look at it. Jake's looking at it and trying to give a thoughtful answer. You could have at least tried. See? That's what I'm talking about, effort. What was the speech I just gave before the show?
Well, I thought you were talking to Jake.
No. I'm talking to Jake, and I'm hoping you hear it.
Oh, that's
okay?
Nice to meet
like
you.
I tell the girls before their high school sporting events, all right? The results will take care of themselves. We're here to compete. I want to see you compete. I don't care what the score is. I don't care how much time's left in the game. I don't care what heat you're in the track meet. All I'm asking for you is compete. Compete against yourself. Compete against whoever is in the lane next to you. Compete whoever is guarding you. Compete. I asked Jake to compete. I asked you to compete. He's competing right now.
I'm going to say 14.
Okay. Why did you come up with that? What?
Well, I think about it. So he saw a bunch of those teams, like the West Coast teams out at Vegas, because there were three. He saw
right.
19 games.
They sent him all over the place. This guy travels all season long.
So I'm thinking that there's probably two teams, maybe NC State that he didn't see.
Okay.
And then he probably saw Gonzaga out west.
And you know when he's been up to the Big East?
I'm going to say Clemson.
He's been all over the place.
Clemson, he hasn't seen NC State.
Okay. All right.
That's what
I don't see why.
You want to go all 16?
I don't see why that's such an outrageous idea.
I just wanted you to put thought into it. I wanted you to try.
Well, he goes everywhere.
Well, that's okay. The easy answer is what he's
right.
saying.
Right. That's there it is.
Well, what if it's the right answer?
Well, that's fine. I'll say, I will say, I looked at it. I'm going to say 15.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it's 16. I mean, they send him everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's why it's such a good guest to have on.
Jet setting.
Plus, he's very handsome.
So what on this Monday morning, what's the bigger story? What's the headline? KU getting blown out by Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament, or the Chiefs trading L'Jarius Sneed?
Sneed.
I'm not taking any other candidates for the headline.
I think Sneed.
You want it to be Sneed.
Of course I do. Of course.
Sneed all the way.
What do you think it is, though?
Now,
I don't KU have been more recent.
Right. I don't think it's a shock that Kansas lost to Gonzaga.
One of my daughters.
Gonzaga.
You can figure out who asked this. Selena.
Yeah.
She's interested in this business. She could be my successor. I'm Logan Roy. I'm going to put these kids through hell to find out who my successor is. But she said, because I thought it was a really good question, because, you know, she saw how fanatical I was the night before about the L'Jarius Sneed trade. And then it's funny because, you know, I'm never really making plans to watch KU basketball during the regular season. But I told her, you want to watch some of this? I have to watch this Kansas basketball game. She said, oh, yeah? Why? I said, well, it's the tournament, and this is what we'll talk about. K-State's not in it. Missouri's not in it, so I'm going to have to sit here and watch this. You want to watch it with me? At least she's Gonzaga. Oh, she's old Gonzaga. And she loves Gonzaga because she's she's one hell of a bandwagon jumper when it comes to college basketball. But she likes the way they play. I said, well, I get it.
It's a good team.
I get that.
Nine straight Sweet 16.
She went through this stretch where she wanted to go there because then we looked up. It's kind of fun.
Spokane.
She'll ask about a school, And then she'll say, let's look it up. I want to see what the campus looks like and where it's at and everything else.
Yeah.
And then she goes, this is Gonzaga. Oh, I want to go there. I said, I think UMKC is so reasonable.
Nice Jesuit school for you.
Yeah.
More affordable.
I said, would you like to tour Avila by any chance?
You're right. There you go.
Some time.
I've been up there. Spokane.
How about Mo West? No, I'm sorry. Gonzaga? Fine, we'll go. But anyway, and to you, that's a great point that I was going to make here in a little bit. But you know what? Steal my thunder. I don't care. I got plenty of it in my pocket. Okay. I can't take it all.
Is that what that, was in there?
Oh, yeah, of course it was. I'll get to that in a minute. But then so we're watching the game. Kansas was up at halftime, by the way. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
Yeah. I definitely did.
They did not hold on to the lead.
They did not.
They fooled me.
And I go, oh, boy, this will be.
They fooled me.
We'll be talking about this on Monday. And she goes, well, which is more important? Which will you talk about first? I said, that's a good question, little girl. I said, what's more important and what we'll talk about more? In my opinion, it's Snead and it's the Chiefs because that involves everyone. That's everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you're a K-State fan, Mizzou fan, KU fan, the chances are if you're listening to this show, 98% of you are Chiefs fans. I don't know.
At least 90%.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 98 because I feel like if you weren't over the last 5 years, maybe you've, you know, I don't like the Broncos anymore if you're one of those bandwagon jumpers, right? We've converted you. But also, then I reminded myself, when Kansas wins, we're talking about Kansas just pretty much for Kansas fans. When Kansas loses, everybody wants to get involved. Yeah. All of a sudden, am I wrong? No, K-State, Missouri, anyone else wants to?
That's a fantastic point.
Iowa State, whoever is ever. Yeah. Let me check this out and see.
Yeah.
There are not a whole lot of fans of other teams that would like to tune in today and hear about their matchup in the Sweet 16.
Right.
A lot of fans want to tune in and hear what you guys have to say about them losing to Gonzaga. That's just the truth.
Oh, yeah, I got a couple tweets on Saturday night from people wanting me to weigh in even then.
We'll get to that. So we're going to get to that. But I still say it's LeJarius Sneed.
Sure.
Because the Chiefs are more important in the sports world than anything.
How long
me.
Have we been talking about this?
Like a long time.
This has been a giant topic for the show.
A long time.
Since he's been tagged, basically.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, the mentions and the comments on Twitter have left me. I'm not even going to say surprised or perplexed because I feel like I went through this in the regular season when I kept getting dragged for telling people, you know what, chill out, it's a regular season. We saw many times the Patriots get blown out in the game, look bad in the game. Tom Brady looked bad. I take you back to the Monday Night Football game where he got benched in Kansas City and people were declaring his run over. Well, this is it for the Patriots, and how much more do they win after that? How much longer did we have to sit through that? You know, the way to get all the stupid memes when they came here for the AFC Championship game. Oh, Tom Brady retirement party. And they used to piss me off. My buddy Sam kept saying, I said, stop doing this. Stop doing this. Don't do this. And they did it, and they won, and then went to Tampa, and they won that. And just, you know, we don't learn from that. And so then during the regular season, I'd keep getting these tweets after a loss. Is it okay to worry now? Like, oh, you can worry all you want. Go ahead. Don't ask me. But then when they figure things out in the playoffs, have that same energy. Come on back and let's get together. And trust me, I wanted to go back and look for those tweets. Say, hey, how did everything work out this year? Mm-hmm. You good? You still worried? You know, and maybe I'm just ignorant and unwilling to admit when things are going bad. But also, I had a look at the grand scheme of things, and I just feel like maybe Andy Reid and his staff and Patrick Mahomes and Kelce might have this thing figured out about peaking at the right time. You know, after how many years now, they've figured out in the years where they don't succeed, they either lose in overtime in the AFC Championship game or lose in the Super Bowl. That's still going on a hell of a run, right? There are teams right now that dream of making it to an overtime of a conference championship game.
That was us for 40-plus years.
Right. And so, trust me when I tell you, I understand at the initial disappointment when you see that the Chiefs traded Snead for a third-round pick, not this year, but next year, and a flip-flop of seventh-round picks this year to the Tennessee Titans. I understand. Do you know why I understand? Because I've spent the last month or so trying to prepare this young boy over here for an eventual letdown when he would see what the trade return was going to be. We've tried to ease you through this.
Yep.
And it's not because I don't think L'Jarius Sneed is worthy of a first-round pick. It's not that Jake doesn't think so. It's not that others don't think so. It's just what the market is. And the market was set with the Jalen Ramsey trade because that's the closest comp you can get. Because Jalen Ramsey does have a longer track record of success than L'Jarius Sneed. But he's a future Hall of Famer, right? And he was traded for a third-round pick and a fourth-string tight end. And it's just that was too recent, and so the market was set there. When Burns got traded, I told you that trade's bad news for the Chiefs as far as getting return from Snead, even though they're not the same position, because the NFL values edge rushers, elite pass rushers, more than they do corners. They just do. And when they got, what was it, a second and a fifth, Jake? Then right there, at least I knew, remember I said it on the show that day. I was down in the hot box down across from T-Mobile Center. I said, well, I think that's bad news for the Chiefs and as far as what they're going to get for Snead, because they're not going to get more than that. Because that's just what the NFL thinks of a premier pass rusher that's franchise tagged. The comp is there. So they're not going to get more than that.
Yes, there was a second this year and a fifth next year.
Okay, so that put a lid on it.
And that second was it's a 39th pick overall.
Because what did they have to do after that?
They had to pay him $150 million.
Big-ass contract.
$150 million.
And that's part of it. And also part of this whole thing was not just agreeing to compensation for the Chiefs. They had agreed to compensation for L'Jarius Sneed, and he wanted a lot. He got paid $55 million guaranteed. He got a lot, and he deserved a lot. There's also the question of what do the Chiefs think of his knee? What do the other teams think of his knee? And I saw someone say, well, his knee's not a problem. If the Titans gave him, you know what? Guess what? Teams have different opinions on medical reports, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
How many teams passed on Trey Smith because of medical reports in the draft?
Everyone,
lots of times. Has he had any issues?
Not yet.
Different teams. Some team, I know that hasn't worked out yet, but Justin Ross. There's only like two or three teams that are even willing to give him a chance. The Chiefs are one of them. We don't know if that'll pay off eventually, but teams have different positions and different medical reports and different opinions on players. Some players in the draft, a team will have undraftable, will have them off their draft board. Other teams would be very comfortable with it. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Tennessee. But what I can tell you, the Chiefs were concerned enough about it where it was an issue. Some other teams were. That's just fact. Tennessee felt comfortable. And also, there's something to be said about a team that's desperately chasing the Chiefs. Right? We've seen teams do very aggressive things because they're desperate to get to where the Chiefs are. The Chiefs, at one point, were desperate to get to a Super Bowl. And what do? They made the Frank Clark trade. It worked out, but they're not the same. They would never do that right now.
Right.
Right? Trade that kind of draft capital and give a guy like Frank Clark that kind of money because they have three rings. But other teams we've seen bizarre, the Russell Wilson trade. All the big contracts that the AFC West threw out there. The Bills giving, what was your reaction when the Bills signed Von Miller to that deal?
Yeah.
You threw up in your mouth a little bit, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Right? So sometimes a team will talk themselves into something because they're chasing. All right? The Titans feel like they have this window. What do we always talk about? man, if you can get a rookie quarterback that you trust, that you think has got something, you've got that window where you can build up the team around him and maybe catch lightning in a bottle. That's what they're trying to do. Is Will Levis the guy? I don't know. I don't know, but they're taking a swing at it. That's what they're doing. Go look at everything they've done. Just look how much money they spent on freaking Calvin Ridley and L'Jarius Sneed alone. All right, so you can't say they're not aggressive in trying to put, you know, I bet Mike Vrabel's like, where was this?
Yeah.
Where was this approach when I was there? Anyway, so they gave him a lot of money. And so all those things had to come together to get this deal done. And so I'm not telling you I love the return. I'm just trying to explain to you why it was what it was. That's the market. I mean, you think the Chiefs turned their nose up at a better deal somewhere? No, they took the best deal they could get. And it was limited to teams that could and that were willing to pay L'Jarius Sneed. And you can only judge this trade by, yes, what they get with that third-round pick, but also what they spend the $19.8 million on that is now freed up under the salary cap. And like I mentioned, you know, and I retweeted some people saying now they can go out if they want to bring back Mike Dana. Is he a superstar? No. He's a nice piece of the rotation, a good, solid defensive end that Spags loves, that knows how to win, and has been successful on this football team. You can bring him back. You can bring back a veteran left tackle, and you can add another wide receiver. And some smart ass, oh, look at all those superstars. It's not what it's about. Did you think when the Chiefs signed Jude Tranquil and Mike Edwards last year, you know, look at those superstars? Probably. The smart ass probably said the same thing, but guess what? They turned out to be pretty good players. It's not all about signing the Patrick Mahomes or the Travis Kelce or the Chris Jones of the world. It's about supplementing them with good draft picks and reasonable free agent signings. Okay, so Hollywood Brown didn't get $40 or $50 million. I mean, he sucks? No. That's a fantastic deal. And now the Chiefs are going to be able, and it's also about, are you, you know, not only the high end, the top shelf talent you have, it's also not having any glaring holes on your football team and having a solid football team across the board like the Chiefs did last year, except for wide receiver for a little bit, but that came together. Addressing left tackle, getting another wide receiver, getting another defensive end.
And also setting yourself up for two guys that are very important to that offensive line next year that are going to be free agents. You know, they can look at extending one of those two guys possibly with that money.
The guys that they want to pay, and this will anger many people because I've seen it, Creed Humphrey and Nick Bolton. Because Nick Bolton is a lot more important to the Chiefs and their coaching staff than he is to Twitter and he is to the analytics guys. But thankfully, Twitter and the analytics guys aren't coaching the Chiefs. And Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid find value in a brilliant player that wears the green dot that's a coach on the field.
Very evident.
But right, it is evident. You know? And so, it's once again, this is a lesson. Just, man, these... What in God's good green earth do the Chiefs have to do just to get an ounce of the benefit of the doubt?
Just for some people, for some evidence that Veach knows what he's doing.
For some people, just not to go on social media after they make a move and pretend like they're bumbling, stumbling morons that just can't get out of their own way and just some, oh, they fall into this, fall into that. Whoops, trade up for Trent McDuffie. You know? Woohoo, how did that happen? Like, I don't know. Woohoo, signed Jude Tranquil. Ah! You know? I mean, they kind of know what they're doing. But guess what? All that can be true, but you could still just be a little disappointed in what the return was. Ah, man, Sneed was a hell of a player. I wish they would have got more. But I'm going to tell you, they did the best they could. And then you can say, well, they just should have kept him on the franchise tag. And we all love L'Jarius Sneed, but maybe L'Jarius Sneed made it clear, like, I'm not playing on the tag. I don't want to play on the tag. and that could cause a distraction. And also, maybe they continue to look at this saying, hey, we have some things we need to address financially. We can't address them. This space under the salary cap is very important to us. It's $19.8 million. Now they sit back and someone says, oh, there's no talent. There is two talent left. There's plenty of talent left out there. And the Chiefs can pick and choose what they want. And they can also, as Jake said, talk about extending other players.
And they could do something potentially like what Andrew Brandt told us last week, which is front load those contracts.
Front load this.
So a bunch of that money hits this year. And then they're not expensive going forward, which allows you to add other players down the road.
They can do a bunch of things.
There's a lot. It gives you all this flexibility.
Flexibility. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. It gives them a bunch of flexibility. Now, all three of us, I know you're disappointed in the return.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I go, oh, man.
Yeah.
Damn. I get it. I understand. Because I've been talking about all these things for the last couple of weeks as to why we're going to be disappointed with the return. But, man.
It's even disappointed by what you were, you know, telling me. We were thinking second-round pick, you know, at least this year or next year.
But then that changed a week ago. Because then we found out what? From the Colts reporters.
Yeah, that he was.
That the trade was a third-round pick and a pick next year. But then even after that, it changed. Then it became a third-round pick next year and just a flop of seventh-round picks this year.
Yeah.
So it was even less than that.
Yeah.
And for people to say, well, they would have got a third-round compensation pick. No, they wouldn't have for sure. There's a formula to that. And I like Mitchell Schwartz, Eric Eager, and there's been a bunch of people that have been doing brain somersaults trying to explain to people you don't automatically get a third-round pick. And people
have
are
to
not
do
just,
with what you bring in as well.
People are not hearing it. Yeah. People don't want to hear the truth about this. And so it can all be true. You could be disappointed about what they got in return, but you could also understand why it happened, what the reasons are that it happened, and then also admit that they know what they're doing, and now they have tremendous cap flexibility, and they do have now an extra pick, a third-round pick next year. They could use that to move up. That could make them more comfortable in using a second-round pick next year or whatever. That could happen. That could help them move up in the first round. That could help them move up in the second round. Okay. I think some people are too, they turn their noses up too much in a pick next year. You know, the Patriots utilize that very well. It's still draft capital. And they could still use it to move up this year. It's not nothing.
Yeah. They could also draft the next Legarius Sneed next year if they decide to keep it.
Whatever.
You know what I mean? Like, that is, in the long run, that's not going to be, that wouldn't be bad either.
You know?
It gives them more flexibility in the draft.
And you can also be happy for Sneed because they drafted him with a fourth-round pick. They developed him into one of the better corners in football. He helped him win two championships, and they took a guy that they drafted in the fourth-round pick, and 4 years later turned him into a third-round pick and got all of that production out of him. That's the way championships are won. That's great business. That's a good business model. I like that. Something tells me this team's going places if they conduct business like that.
Buy a car and drive it 20,000 miles a year and then turn around and sell it for more money 3 years later. All right. Okay.
And there are painful choices you got to make. They brought back Chris Jones. We all celebrated. That was a pretty good indicator that Sneed was probably out the door. Could they have played him on the franchise tag? Sure. Would Sneed have been happy? No. Would they have been cash-strapped? Yes. Would they have more holes to fill? Yes. And so maybe it works out for everybody. And now we can wait and see what they do with that money. And now they're in a good spot in this draft. They have more ammunition to move up if they need to. But it always sucks to see one of our great players leave. But that, guess what? It's going to happen again next offseason. It's going to keep happening because we fall in love with these players. They help us win championships. And then sometimes they got to go. Sometimes they stay. Not everyone leaves. Patrick Mahomes ain't going nowhere. Travis Kelce ain't going nowhere. Chris Jones ain't going nowhere. And let me tell you something, between me and you and the light post, the lamp post, Trent McDuffie ain't going nowhere. If you desire them to pay a cornerback, that'll be old Trent McDuffie when the time comes. So they'll pay him. All right? That's all. We got a break, I know. Long-winded. But I had to get that off my chest. When we come back, get your thoughts. And these two are like, oh, no, keep talking about it.
Yeah, we'll dive
talk about it for a whole hour.
Yeah. Much more to say about it.
Yeah, we got a lot more.
Oh, do you?
Lots to unpack.
Now, I got questions for you when we come back. I want to know, and you better not lie to me and tell me when Kansas was up at halftime, oh, I knew they were going to get blown out. I didn't think so. I think, oh, boy, Kansas came to play. Everyone doubted Bill Self, and here we go. They're a half away from going to the Sweet 16. And then, you know, the second half happened. I wasn't expecting that. But I don't want to hear it. Like, I feel like somebody, Nate's going to tell me when they're up at a point. I saw that coming. I knew they were getting blown out. Jake, something tells me Jake did not. Jake got a hook in mouth, didn't you? Took that bait, didn't you? Look at him. He's looking down now. He didn't want to look at me. You jumped in, didn't you?
Live betting Jake.
You dove in head first.
I talked myself before the game.
Sure you did.
Into it. When all week long, I was like, nope.
I'm talking about halftime.
Oh, absolutely. Double down.
Then you were in. You were all the way in. So we'll hear about that journey from Jake and Nate and everything else. Got so much to talk about. Other things, too. We'll get to it back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP.
The competitor that you are, I'm sure this will stick with you. But, I mean, is it something you already feel like I got to start thinking about, you know, next season, or you got to absorb this for a little while?
Well, I think for the last month, I've been thinking about next season, to be honest. Not in the moments during the game, but, obviously we played. We had eight guys on scholarship, and we play. I mean, that were healthy there late, and you know, injuries are part of the game. So that's not an excuse. But we could have done a much better job as a staff, putting more guys out there that we could play. And so that's something that I've thought about for a long time. And the thing about it is in basketball, you know, early on, you can play through some things, but the course of a season, there's a grind that goes with it, and bodies get run down, injuries occur. That's all part of it. And when you don't have as much firepower or, as you know, that maybe you've had in past years, it certainly showed this year.
All right, before we get into those comments, I do want to mention that I'm sad that K-State lost, so that ruins the possible K-State-Iowa matchup in the women's Sweet 16. K-State lost to Colorado 63-50. But one of the best games that I've seen this March in either the men's or women's tournament was the last game that I watched last night. Iowa State and Stanford was wild. That was nuts. That was a fantastic game. And Stanford holds off Iowa State, avoids the upset, and wins 87-81 in overtime. Unbelievable game between both squads. And so I mention this because if you are a fan of women's basketball, then today is wonderful for you. And it starts at 1 o'clock with Ole Miss and Notre Dame. But you get a chance to see then 3 o'clock, Tennessee and North Carolina State. At 5 o'clock, you can watch Syracuse against UConn. 5:30, Oklahoma, Indiana. At 7 o'clock on ESPN is West Virginia and the one seed Iowa and Caitlin Clark. So you can watch Caitlin Clark tonight at 7. And then tonight, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, It's the 8-seed Kansas against the 1-seed USC. And let me tell you something. If you don't know what that means, let me tell you. Juju Watkins, who I think is the heir apparent to Caitlin Clark, and she ain't taking a backseat to nobody right now. She has set the USC single-season scoring record after she dropped 23 in the first round, All-American. She had 13 games this year where she scored at least 30 points as a freshman. And that's the most in the last 25 seasons, surpassing Caitlin Clark's 12 that she had as a freshman. So if you want to see one of the absolute stars of women's college basketball and one of the most entertaining players in the nation to watch, freshman guard Juju Watkins of USC, she is incredible. I can promise you that. And Kansas will play against her in USC tonight. You can watch it at the absolutely ridiculous Monday night start time of 9 p.m., but you can listen to it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And so how about that for a little doubleheader? Caitlin Clark at 7, and then Juju Watkins versus Kansas at 9. Were you aware of all that? Were you locked into that?
Yeah, absolutely.
You like the way I pumped that up? Because that's a big deal.
Yeah, big win for the KU women against Michigan in the first round.
You guys ever seen Juju Watkins play?
I haven't watched her play, no.
Bro, Jared Sutton got me talking about it because we talk women's basketball on our House of Hustle podcast, and about a month now, it was more than a month ago, we were talking. He goes, you got to watch Juju Watkins. You got to have Selena watch Juju Watkins. And it's one of those, like, you watch and you just laugh. Like, she's a freshman. Oh, okay. And she scores 30 almost every year. All right, great. And so, yeah, the second leading scorer in the nation. So, Jake, I mean, there's point spreads. USC's favored by 10.5. Let's see how good you are. Find out the over-under in points for Juju Watkins tonight. Maybe that's something. You could maybe bet on the Jayhawk defense to try to slow her down. So,
While we're talking freshmen, I mean, no, she's not on the same level as Juju Watkins, but the local kid is a freshman for KU as their leading scorer, Samaya Nichols from Overland Park, which is Shawnee Mission West High School.
There it is.
She averages 15 points a game as a freshman. She's 6 feet tall, a couple inches shorter than Juju. But so we get a chance to watch a local kid who plays for KU, who's a freshman, who's obviously having a tremendous season as well. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun tonight. Maybe the Jayhawks can give them a go.
So if you in Colorado, just beat K-State.
Yeah, that wrecked my women's bracket.
On February 23rd, when USC played Colorado, Juju Watkins dropped 42 on the Buffaloes. So,
right. Oh, boy.
Be prepared for that tonight.
Yeah.
All right, so you heard those comments. Bill Self's been thinking about next year for about a month now. And shocked, I don't know if you're going to be shocked by this, but a whole bunch of Kansas fans got mad about that on social media. So that's time for you to be outraged. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had somebody tweet those comments to me on Saturday night and say, I can't wait for Buchanan to spin this on Monday or whatever.
Come on.
I don't know. Let's see if I can find the comment.
Who's expecting you to spin it?
By the way, it's stupid. It's stupid. If you're getting upset, he was asked the question. He was asked the question. That's why I played the question because it's a soundbite. They had
Jason Knox asked
Jay Will and Seth Greenberg going off on it.
He texted you?
Well, he's got a North Carolina logo.
Oh, he tweeted.
Logo.
Oh,
he tweeted.
I thought he said he texted you. I thought he was a buddy of yours.
No, the KU fans.
Why are you going to spin this, Katie?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people that don't like KU coming after Bill Self for it. Right. If you're a KU fan and you're mad at Bill Self for it, get over it.
Stupid.
If you're not a KU fan and you're going after Bill Self for it, fine. You don't like him. You're going to find whatever
reason.
We'll
continue to live rent-free in your head.
Yeah, exactly. So,
there's a little rent.
Tell me. Tell me the coach that hasn't been thinking about next year a little bit.
Well, if you're a good coach, I hope you have been.
Right? You got a recruiting
part
class
of your
coming
job.
In. You probably got to find some of these transfers. You
part
know,
of your job.
It's most of the KU fans I know, like, in fact, on a text thread that I'm on with some of the guys, the MLS broadcasters I work with, One of them sent a text to me and a buddy who are Jayhawk fans and said, hey, sorry to the Jayhawk fans on the group. And my buddy responded, don't be. This needed to happen. Put this team out of their misery.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's how I think a lot of the KU fans I know have felt for quite a while. This team wasn't going anywhere.
Even when you're up one at halftime, you're glad they got run off the floor in the second half?
I would have preferred them to go to the Sweet 16.
I will admit that when they were up at halftime, there was a part of me thinking, well, I'm going to hear from the KU fans that told me I needed to turn my card in, you know, if they somehow pull this off.
See, you were rooting for you to be right instead
of KU. No, I wasn't rooting for it. I was wondering if it was going to happen. Of course, I'd love for KU to go. This team wasn't going anywhere. If you've been watching this basketball team, I try to trick myself into thinking if McCuller came back, maybe they could find something. But this team wasn't going anywhere, and Bill Self knew it. And you can see, I mean,
it's March Madness, though.
This team has been missing a lot. It hasn't looked like a KU Bill Self basketball team since non-conference play.
And I saw some of those accounts that you complain about all the time.
Yeah.
They covered Kansas.
Yeah.
Criticizing Bill Self for lack of adjustments.
No. Yeah, good for them. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, criticize Bill Self. What's he ever done? It's like going after Brett Veach.
What kind of adjustments could he have made?
Shoot the messenger, why don't you?
Like, I'm not shooting.
He was extremely limited.
Those guys are the same people that were character assassinating a college kid who's played through an injury all year because he didn't play in the tournament. So take that for what it's
who's
worth.
Who's that one that you like about?
I mean, that's the kind of garbage. Yeah, Bill Self doesn't. When has he ever made adjustments in a game to help KU win? But these guys that, you know, never coached a game of basketball. Yeah, okay.
Man, you're hot-blooded today. I'm just
come on. But I'm also annoyed. I will tell you this. I'm also annoyed at the I've been thinking about the, you know, this whole, oh, yeah, Bill Self. Now that everybody can pay their players, you know, it's a level playing field. Yeah. Look what happens to Bill
Self.
That's
true.
Yeah. Right.
But it's a level playing field. No, I mean, that part's true. I'm not saying it.
That national championship team you had a couple years ago had a whole bunch of high-priced, you know, big-time recruits that were really hard to – you had to pay a lot of money to get, like Ochai Agbaji, Christian Brown, and, you know, McCormick. You know, he doesn't know how to coach. He just,
yeah, he does, Nate. He does.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Based on what, Jake?
A couple national championships, some Final Fours. The development of players that come through the program.
All those best players are guys that anybody could have had. Anybody.
Yeah, well.
So, come on. They had a bad year. And their bad year, they somebody to the second round of the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And I will admit that part. As a spoiled KU fan, I'm like, this team's not fun to watch. They haven't been fun to watch most of the year, especially the second half of the season.
You know, they became the first team in NCAA tournament history to have a lead over a higher seed of the half and then lose the game by 20 or more.
I mean, that's
believable.
That's what happened in the Big 12 tournament against Cincinnati. I watched that one in person.
They didn't have a lead.
They fought for a little bit in that game, and then when it got tough, they collapsed. And that's kind of what this team has done this year. It wasn't – that team had no juice. They had no confidence. They didn't have any depth. They didn't have good enough players.
Well,
they were injured.
Of depth and lack of experience.
And they took the scholarship hits. And hey, that's not an excuse because they incurred those scholarship hits. You know,
yeah, and
they took them.
Still did all right.
So and they still made it to the second round in the NCAA tournament. And I believe Bill Self will get things back going in the right direction. You know, it's going to be a tougher league than it's ever been going forward. And I don't think that KU will dominate the league year after year the way that they did for that 14-year stretch or whatever it was.
I don't either.
In the Big 12. But that doesn't mean he's not going to still have a ton of success.
Dude, this league.
It's going to be a monster.
You refuse to mention Arizona's coming.
Well, that's one of the biggest things I was thinking about when I said that.
Yeah. Whatever you say, that's a good program.
Well, they pay their players, too.
Yeah, right. Right. here they come.
Yeah. Yeah, I think KU's as good of a program as Arizona, though.
Yes, that's right.
So I think they'll be all right.
But
I don't think they're going to
flip it and say Arizona's a good program like Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah,
that doesn't make it easier that Arizona's coming.
It's like I said, this is going to be the toughest conference that Bill Self's ever been in. But that in some ways could make his team better prepared to win national titles or to go deep in tournaments than when they were playing in a league where everybody just,
there,
you know, kissed the ring constantly.
A K-State guy named Derek Young said, will the same KU fans that went after McCullough apply the same energy to Bill Self, who said he checked out a month ago?
He did not say he checked out a month ago.
That's a dumbass.
That's a K-State fan that wants to crap on Bill Self.
Not a fan. He's a KSO publisher and football insider covering K-State for On3 Sports.
He's also a dumbass.
Wow.
Well, that's...
I will say that. You're a dumbass because you're misquoting the
ladies and gentlemen, Jake Gutierrez.
You're welcome. That's a dumbass tweet.
You know, I just try to show you guys things.
You're not even using the correct quote, dumbass.
You think Jerome Tang's been thinking about next year at all over the past month?
He didn't check out.
You guys want to read? You want me to read you a dumb tweet?
No, boy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Please. This is from Crunchbacker.
Hey, Crunchbacker.
At SSJWHB. Who won the Super Bowl for the Chiefs? Then why did you pay the fake Aaron Donald instead of the man that won the Super Bowl for you? Awful decision by the Chiefs. They just paid the wrong defender. I think the defensive MVP in the Super Bowl was Chris Jones.
Bye.
Was he not?
He just wanted to hear his name on the radio.
L'Jarius Sneed made a great play in the AFC Championship game.
That's not what he said.
Player.
That's not what he said.
Yeah.
There were people arguing for Chris Jones to be the MVP of the Super Bowl.
He made some big plays.
Am I in Crazy Town?
Twitter is Crazy Town.
Yes, you are.
Twitter is Crazy Town.
He called Chris Jones fake Aaron Donald.
Fake Aaron Donald. Yeah. What's Chris Jones ever won?
Did I not watch the Super Bowl? I'm asking you guys. Who was the best defensive player in the Super Bowl for the Chiefs?
Trent McDuffie. There's a lot of good players on that team, by the way. There's a lot of good players on that team.
But who made what am I?
I think Chris Jones is a decent player.
Do we not remember the third down plays?
I don't think he's fake Chris Jones or fake Aaron Donald. He's not fake anybody.
Go away.
You're crazy! Hello, Sneed, but didn't he give up a touchdown?
He did.
As my wife often tells me, the opposite of reality.
Right. Welcome to Twitter. As my wife says, you can't argue with crazy.
Well, you can.
You're just not going to get anywhere.
It's not very much fun.
You're just not going to get anywhere.
We'll be right back after this on WHP.
You're crazy!